Hello everyone, this is Father John on the Wednesday after All Saints with the readings for today and some commentary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The reading is from the Epistle of the Holy Apostle Paul to the Romans. Brethren, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee. Jesus said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. All right, so let's look at Romans first. And there was a question here that came in, asking, what does the law worketh wrath mean in verse 15. So let's have a look at that. So first, we need to call to mind the themes that have that St. Paul is dealing with in Romans. And the Orthodox Study Bible very nicely does this at the beginning of the Epistle to the Romans. So from chapter 3, verse 21, to chapter 4, verse 25, Paul's theme is the salvation through Christ apart from the Mosaic law. And he gives these things that contrast with each other that seem to even go against one another, although they actually don't. Law and grace, living faith versus dead faith, living works versus dead works, faithfulness versus unfaithfulness. And in all these things, St. Paul wants to make clear that The life in Christ has to be one of faith, has to be active, has to be continuous. Indeed, it has to be a way of life. And this is contrasted with the Mosaic law insofar as the Jews at that time in particular were looking at the observances put forward by the law of Moses in a very mechanistic way, right? a literal way. In which they just, a legalistic way, in which they just went about their life without trying to change their hearts, but just keeping with all these external observances. And of course, this was completely contrary to why God gave the law. God gave the law, St. Paul tells us, so that the Jews could come to a knowledge of sin, and those external observances that were, you know, of how to wash things and how to separate foods out and so forth, were there to try to facilitate both the remembrance of God and the remembrance of sin throughout the day, so that man would realize that he has to turn to God. Right? So now, when he says in verse 15, the law worketh wrath, right? The answer to that is, the law's purpose is not to save, but to make men aware of his sin or transgressions. And this you'll see in a note at the bottom of the page in the Orthodox Study Bible. All right. So the other thing to take note of here is that in verse 13, when he refers to the righteousness of faith, St. Paul wants to make it clear that righteousness is not bound up with ethnic or genetic ancestry, but rather through whether or not the heart is given to God, whether or not we approach him with faith and seek to do his will throughout our lives. Now, if we turn to the second part of the reading from, say, roughly verse 17, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 17 forward, he starts to go through the history of Abraham's life. And here I really want you to go and reread Genesis chapters 11 through 24 so you can get an overview of the life of Abraham. It's really worthwhile to do that in conjunction with reading this section in Romans, because, of course, he's referring to all of these things in Abraham's life as he discusses the faith of Abraham here and how it justified Abraham. But notice the phrase in verse 18, who, that is Abraham, against hope believed in hope. Stop and really think about this, preferably in a quiet room. We all suffer, we all have trials, we all have problems that seem bigger than us. Yet consider what the apostle says regarding our father Abraham, that Abraham in all things believed God, even when it seemed like what God had promised might not happen. For example, with Isaac, he had promised that Abraham would have a son. And of course, his wife had not had a son for many years. And he, being yet 100 years old, still believed God that God would give him a son through Sarah. Right? So Abraham who hoped, right? St. Paul says, Abraham against hope believed in hope, to convey that no matter what, Abraham always gave himself up to faith and hope in God. And Abraham therefore believed God, and it was imputed to him, St. Paul says, for righteousness. Okay, so go ahead and have a look at those sections in Genesis, and if I were you, I'd go come back and reread these chapters in Romans, having looked at the sections in Genesis I mentioned. Now let's turn to the gospel. We notice that the beginning of the gospel begins with the same verse it ended with yesterday. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. And here I'd like to share with you what St. Theophon the Recluse writes in his book, Thoughts for Each Day of the Year. So this is another book I would recommend that you get. St. Herman of Alaska Orthodox Press puts out this book. It's very, very good. It gives little commentaries for each day of the year according to the lectionary. So let's read that, and then we'll say a few things about it. You will not be saved, St. Theophon says, through prayer alone. You must unite prayer to the fulfillment of the will of God. All that each person is responsible for according to his calling and way of life. And prayer should have as its primary object the petition that God not let us depart from his holy will in any way. Conversely, he who is zealous to fulfill God's will in all things has boldness in prayer before God and greater access to his throne. Moreover, prayer that is not accompanied by walking in God's will is often not true, sober, and heartfelt prayer, but only outward reading, during which one's moral dysfunction is concealed by a multitude of words like a fog, while the thoughts are actually disorderly and wandering. Both prayer and the fulfillment of God's will must be made orderly through piety, and then there will be fruit. Now, contrast what St. Theophon is saying here or not connect, you should connect what St. Theophan's saying here with what St. Paul is talking about in Romans. Namely, that we need to have a living faith, and we need to seek to do the will of God. And also that our spiritual observances, our prayers, our attendance at church, should not be simply mechanistic or outward, but it must reflect an inward reality. And that inward reality is made real and vivifying through our pursuit of the virtues. And this is exceptionally important. So, because what we begin to see is when we strive to do the will of God in our lives, which will be difficult precisely because our fallen nature dictates that we do other things than the will of God. But when we strive after the will of God in our lives, when we bear our cross, God will vouchsafe us his grace, and our prayer will become more efficacious. And conversely, when we pray with a broken and contrite heart and struggle for attention, God will again vouchsafe us his grace so that we may be able to carry out his will more effectively. And so there's this wonderful, beautiful, this beautiful relationship St. Theophan is pointing out here between the pursuit of the virtues and the pursuit, the life of prayer. The two go together just like, you know, breathing and drinking water, right? Which one of those is more important? Well, they're both essential, right? We have to pray, we have to strive to pray unceasingly, just as we have to breathe unceasingly. And so too, we have to partake of that living water, that grace through the life of virtue continually. If we stop drinking water, we get dehydrated quite quickly. So too, we have to seek to do God's will in every moment, in every hour, in every day of our lives, so that in coming to the end of our lives, we may end our life in Christ. Amen.